Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
All right, welcome in to your usual Sunday. You should be used to this, folks. Your Sunday game day show now. Going on three straight weeks of the OBR film breakdown, all eyes on Cleveland crossover. Got my man here, Brad Ward, with me tonight. We're recording a little late. Apologies. Went and saw the new Bond movie. Things happened. It turned into a three-hour movie. Didn't expect it, Brad, but we're here, brother. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm fired up for this game. This should be a dandy. Been looking forward to it all week, you know, talking to it to numerous people and getting different takes on it, but this is an elite AFC showdown, you know? It really is. This is, we got probably four of the best teams in the AFC facing off this weekend. Should be fun.
Should be a ton of fun, and you're right. These are teams that are playoff bound. If the Chargers and Browns don't end up making the playoffs, I think we'll all be pretty surprised. Some basics of this game. It is an indoor game, so I'm not going to waste your time with weather, unless I guess we have lightning, Brad. We saw that on Monday Night Football.
Sort of indoor, right?
Yeah, it's like a aluminum tarp, I guess, sits on top of this thing.
Yeah.
I think they taught us everything about that. We didn't totally know. It is a West Coast trip for Cleveland. You know, that part sucks, but the Chargers are also coming off of a late week, right? Monday Night Football, so they get short prep. So that, in my opinion, has some balancing effect here. It's a 2.5 point as I'm looking at this, could have moved, who knows, 2.5 points that the Browns are getting. So the Chargers are laying 2.5, which to me tells me that the lines makers in this, Brad, think Cleveland is a 1/2 point better on a neutral field. Do you feel like that line is right, or do you feel like it should be moved, especially considering the left tackle news that we know about now?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, so that tells you neutral field, it would be pretty much a pick 'em, pretty close to it. I like that. I think that's okay.
I do, too. I don't know if this is updated post Jedrick Wills missing the game and Hudson or Blake Hance, like, do your whatever your symbol is for Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do there. They need really good play out of somebody there. I don't know how they're going to do it. It'll be a popular thing for people to pay attention to. What are they doing to help out those two? Because neither of them are very good left tackles in the current state of things. It is a huge concern, but how concerned are you about the left tackle situation, considering what we're going to talk about in a minute, which is Baker's situation with the shoulder?
Yeah, man, I'm obviously very concerned. Well, Wills being out there, it was pretty obvious when we saw Hudson last week that the reason Wills was out there is him at 70% was the best case scenario, right? I mean, even though he was hurt and immobile, he was still doing a better job than what we saw Hance do or Hudson do. So that answered our question pretty much that, you know, I presented last week. Are they handling this properly? Well, that's kind of the only way they could handle it if they wanted to, you know, protect Baker, which you have to do now with the shoulder and everything. So they're in a tough spot here. You know, you got to pay attention, and I'm sure Stefanski will, to that side of the line of scrimmage. You may have to keep tight ends in. You may have to keep, an extra guy in. You may have to chip a lot. You know, any of that stuff that you can do to give extra attention to that side and help Hudson out, help Hance out, whoever gets the nod or whoever gets tapped for that duty, you got to help them.
Yeah, they got to scheme it up, man. If you look back and Cleveland wins this game, it's because whatever's happening on that side of the football ends up being a non-factor to an extent. Now, Bosa, last year, different D coordinator, but he was predominantly a lefty end, which was on the quarterback's right. And similar this year, Staley keeps him on the left side for the most part, like a 4-to-1 number there. He's got some like snaps on the other side. Yeah. And he used to split more evenly, 2018, 2019, more evenly. I don't know. I'm not here to predict what they're going to do. I think it'd be a little bit silly for them not to line him up over there. To me, though, I would have Cleveland, like, this is just my thought. I would have Cleveland worrying about helping whoever, if it's in Wosu or whoever's rushing off that side, Fackrell, whoever. Let the Browns worry about that with an extra player, and then that takes your extra player away from Bosa and Conklin, right? Because, you know, you're going to have to worry about Bosa a little bit, but if you're always worried about left tackle, then you're maybe saving something different. You know, if you put Bosa over Hudson, hope this is making sense, Cleveland's already going to dedicate two. But if they're dedicating two over there, you're going to get yourself one-on-one matchups with Conklin, who's been very uneven this year in pass pro. So it's a similar thing where you say your number one corner, you put your number one corner on the number two receiver because he can take him away, and then you put your number two corner on their number one receiver with help. It's kind of a thing. Like, that's just a way to go about it. I think that that could be what we see, but we could also see Staley say, screw it, I'm going to give Bosa a chance against these two players that I just think aren't ready yet. I mean, I don't even think Blake Hance is a tackle. Like him, respect him. He's being forced to play because Michael Dunn, Chris Hubbard, and can't play. And obviously, we'll see if Hudson starts, but Hudson is not ready yet. Neither of them are ready to play that position, but they're going to have to. Nobody in the NFL is going to be happy when their third left tackle is forced to play a game. It's never – there's no team that feels good about that situation. Cleveland could have if Lamb, Kendall Lamb was still here, but, you know, that's not the case. So they have to go with what they have. Could have done something with Michael Dunn, but, again, the injuries, the back is a big problem. The over-under for this game, kind of switching back, Brad, the over-under is 47.5. It means they feel like someone's going to win this game maybe 27-20, 28-21, 27-24, something like that. Feels kind of right to me. I don't think it's going to be a shootout, but I think both teams getting into the 20s is going to be a realistic outcome. I don't think it's going to be 14-7. I just think that what Herbert does is so much different in the type of quarterback that has given Cleveland problems that it could, you know, I could see the Chargers pushing the 24-27-30 number, right?
Yep. I could see it very easily.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, I should mention too, as we do on this pod, Kevin Harlan is your broadcaster with Trent Green as your play-by-play. So, or no, hold on. Play-by-play would be Kevin Harlan. Analyst would be Trent Green. So that's last week.
I thought they did a good job last week.
I did too. By the way. I did too. I was pretty pleased with it. It's a 405 kick, not 420, 405. I think you can obviously find this game on CBS, all your local markets. Should be fun. Weather's nice out there anyway. Even if it was opened up, it would be nice out there anyway. The hope I have, Brad, is that much like the Raiders made that, Los Angeles Raiders Stadium, you hope Cleveland travels well enough. And I do get the vibe there's going to be quite a few Browns fans out there to bring that atmosphere, right?
It should be. Yeah, that's it should be a very fun atmosphere. You're going to have a lot of Browns fans there. It certainly sounds that way.
Sure does. Sure does. So let's switch to keys to this game. We always talk about our three keys. I'm curious your opinion. If the Browns end up coming, I should update everybody on injuries collectively. Clowney, yeah. Garrett, Hill, Newsom, Ward. Newsom's out, but Clowney, Garrett, Hill, Ward, Malcolm Smith, Njoku, Treader, all questionable. I think they're all going to play. At this point, they're all going to play. I would be surprised if they didn't.
McKinley?
It seems like, based on our guy Brad Stainbrook's conversation with his agent this week, they're expecting him to play. We'll see if that comes to fruition. There's really nobody hurt on the Chargers. They did lose their Mike linebacker. Kenneth Murray, but they're pretty healthy otherwise. I mean, Chris Harris has got a shoulder that's questionable. He's their best corner. Does matter. I think he's expected to play. Justin Jackson, their backup to Eckler, is a groin who's doubtful. So I don't think that's going to impact the outcome very much, but it is something worth monitoring. Again, back to your Brad, though, your three focal points to if the Browns come out of this thing with a win, what does that look like to you?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, when we talked about this off the air for a while, but Chargers defense has given up three completions over 20 yards on the season. So, you know, what they're doing defensively, Brandon Staley, Ohio guy, John Carroll, all that stuff. What they're doing in the secondary and what they're doing defensively is very effective. They're not giving up big plays. It's a good defense, you know, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, they've got those staples on that side. You know, one guy that takes away half the field on the back end and Bosa who applies the pressure, kind of similar to Ward and Garrett, right? That way as how they started their defense. But it's, to me, it's Baker, right? So we talked about this. And in order for the Browns to win this game, I don't think they can just they're going to be able to run the ball effectively. I don't think there's any question there.
It would surprise me. It would surprise me if they struggled to run. Sure. Yeah, right. I'm with you.
So I think they'll be able to run the ball, but I don't know if they can just run the ball like they did kind of against Minnesota and get out of there with the win. I think they're going to need some explosive plays to be able to come out of here with a win against Herbert in this offense. I don't expect the Browns to fully shut them down by any stretch of the imagination. So I do think that you're going to need some kind of down-the-field playmaking from Baker Mayfield, and that kind of brings us to where we were talking about, you know, the harness and his shoulder and the partially torn labrum and a conversation I had with my brother who had that injury and everything there, that it seems to me that it's more the harness than anything. And kind of what we got from AVP and what we got from Stefanski is, hey, in practice, he looks accurate. And I saw some pictures, you know, from practice this week, and he looked better than he did form-wise last week. So maybe he's kind of coming to grips with it, or they've made some adjustments to the harness or whatever it is. But they need to do something to figure it out, and he needs to figure it out quickly.
There's no doubt. It is quite clear to me that the harness is the issue. Like, we talked about this extensively off air, and we probably should have recorded it, but that's how it goes in this industry sometimes. Like, if you play with a knee brace, the only injury in my measly career I played with was a knee issue, and I played with an MCL sprain, and if I bent too far, it was painful. I couldn't do it. The flexion was poor. So they gave me a knee brace to stabilize, right? That means you can't run with full flexion in your leg, and it's meant to stabilize and give you stability. It's the same thing that's going on with Baker's shoulder. So if the shoulder harness is built to keep his shoulder from doing the unnatural things that will cause labrum issues, perhaps even a full tear, it's obviously going to restrict the range of motion. And the quick throws are probably not impacted. And when he's thrown quick, we've seen him be pretty accurate. But it is the trajectory-based throws, the downfield throws, where you have to really separate, elongate your motion, right, Brad? Separate the arms to create the fulcrum necessary to drive the football at different angles. And to me, that is where that shoulder restriction could keep the left arm in quicker, which throws off the sink, which means that the timing of your mechanics can get a little sideways. And really, what does it take, Brad, other than a minor issue in your release point, your angle, your flexion, and all of a sudden the ball sails or the ball's behind somebody. So that all matters. And to me, as you look forward with this and as we look at the game, it is how well can Baker manage it? That is going to be the thing. The pain doesn't seem to be the issue here, Brad. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but the pain doesn't seem to be the issue. It's the restrictive nature of the harness and learning to overcome what it does to your mechanics, right? And that is a repetition-based thing.
100%. You know, and the conversation I had with my brother was he's basically said it's not a pain thing. You won't notice the pain at all unless it pops out on you. And then it's extreme pain till it's back in. And even that, he said, when they would pop it back in, it's 5 minutes of extreme pain and it's back to normal. It goes away. So it's not like a consistent pain issue. It's really just that he says this harness is going to go around your whole body probably and then back to that shoulder. And that's what their trainer there told him. That probably what they're working with. So it's probably going around Baker's entire body, wraps around his body and then to his shoulder to keep it in. And that's going to be restrictive. And you've seen it, you know, when Baker really gets into a throw, you see that thumb down often, right? Like the thumb down and as he separates from hand. A lot of times last week you're looking at the thumb up and he's pulling his arm back towards his shoulder, which is going to result in less torque, and the ball is going to be off a little. And obviously that can't explain him missing all the open receivers and all that stuff and his vision and everything, but certainly
you got to get comfortable. Yeah, yes, you got to get comfortable with it. And the only way you get comfortable with it is you keep doing it. Now, if he cannot get comfortable with it, Brad, that's where the hard discussions have to be had from Baker, from Kevin, from AVP, and from Case. Like, can we get through this to the point that I don't have to wear it, so I can get back to being myself? Is what's the risk reward of that? All of it. There's a ton of factors at play here, and I don't think they leaked the labrum tear, partial tear for no reason. They want people to understand what he's laboring through, right? So we'll see. The point of your first key there is he has to play better, and that's a big point from my end too, Brad. First key is that they're going to go two directions here. they could say, screw it, and we'll let you run. And we have always, they're kind of built this way. They don't mind you running for a few first downs and then getting you into a third down and doing some wonky things and putting a lot of guys in coverage.
Right?
Yeah. They don't mind giving up running yards. Pretty obvious. Or they could dig the safeties in playing forward and let Adderley and let Derwin James fill run fits, gap out the Browns' run game, and say, you're not running, period. And Baker, we're just going to dare Baker Mayfield to beat us. And we don't think he can beat us consistently. So that's something, if you're watching as a fan, pay attention to that. What are the Chargers safeties doing? Are they triggering downhill quick, or are they sitting back too high shell and saying, hey, we'll give up some runs, but eventually you're going to have to get to a third and eight, and you're going to have to prove that you can make that throw. And you're going to have to deal with the left side issues that your left tackle will present. So that's a huge plot to follow. You know, Staley's a huge too high guy. So we'll see whether he sits in that. And if the Browns can get some shot plays downfield, right, where they could try to take advantage, that'll be something to keep our eyes on, too, because they need to generate some big plays. What's your second key, Brad?
My second key is the right side of the Chargers offensive line. So you're looking at, they're pretty good across their offensive line. Not tremendous, but they've got the rookie and everything. And really, how do you want to approach this? I think you want to attack Storm Norton, right? He's your right tackle. You've got Clowney and Garrett. It looks like Clowney's going to play, or it seems that way, right? They've been, you know, giving up 25% of the time around their pressures. The offensive line has, you know, Myles Garrett has been fantastic. And really, you know, I talked to Jeff about it this week. The main thing what we're seeing with this defensive line is they're getting better, is they're learning to play off each other, right? We're seeing how well they're you know, reacting to each other on stunts and movement and moving guys around. And that's how they're creating a lot of this pressure, obviously, with the tremendous talent they have up there as well. But, you know, do you move Garrett to the right side? Do you move Garrett and Clowney to the right side? We've seen them line them up on both on the right side at times. But I think you need to attack that right side one way or the other. You know, the other side is Slater, who's a rookie, but he's pretty dang good, I think.
Yeah, I think he's pretty dang good, and you let Bosa try to do his thing, but you try to overwhelm that right side. I think you're making a good point. I think the Browns' pass coverage is slept on a little bit. I just think they're playing really comfortably in the coverage base they like. Their three-shell, their quarter-shell, the cover six they're sprinkling in. Even when they go two-man and try to bracket the outsides, they've been playing really well in coverage, and I think a lot of people are sleeping on that because they view what they're doing up front as so dominant, which it is. But the quarterbacks are coming off of their first read, Brad. They're covering well initially, and they really do look comfortable in whatever scheme Joe Woods is asking them to perform. And the two are in sync. So if people think the Chargers are just going to come out and score 40, I'd tell them to pump the brakes a little bit. I think a lot of it relies on whether Justin Herbert gets out of the pocket in Mahomes a couple drives where he extends some plays with his legs, right? So that's what it boils down to me. Should be interesting. Just like you, I think overwhelming that right side's important. What's your last one?
My last one, it's a key, I think, that's absolutely huge for the Browns if they want to win this game, is a fast start, Jake. They have to get out fast. I'm a, like, defer for life guy, right? But if we won the toss in this, I would almost take the ball. Because for the Browns to win this game, I feel like they almost would need to take a lead and lead the entire game, because it really lends itself to allowing them to let them sit back if they want to sit back and run the football and be patient and not have to press on offense. That's where they're going to get in trouble. So I think a fast start, a score on the first drive, a turnover in the first quarter, something like that, I think would really, really benefit the Browns in this scenario. If they could get out to a 10-0, 7-0 lead even, where this defense can start to get comfortable and Baker can get comfortable in the run game and the boot game or whatever they want to do with him here, I think that changes the game huge if they can get out to fast start.
I know in the playoff game they took the football. They were aggressive because they wanted to create more possessions. A big thing with playing teams that score well, and we think the Chargers are in the mold of teams that score well, is creating more possessions. Now, that can happen by doing what you said, aggressive at the kickoff. You can try to do some things to create some turnovers, get a couple turnovers, a couple sacks that then drives. How they are able to create extra possessions for their offense, Brad, I think is a huge point right there. And I think that's one I would also piggyback off of. I stole all three of yours. We were in sync. I definitely think Baker needs to play well to start. The offense needs to build some confidence early. A touchdown drive to start would be nice. And the last three games, the Browns opening drives, they have they've given up points. And it might be all four opening drives, actually, yeah. Now that I think about it. I'm pretty sure KC went down and scored two. So it would be nice for the Browns to get off the football field early and create momentum. It's, you know, get the football first, go down and score, get the three and out, you know, get the charge off the field and build that early momentum. Like you said, I think it's huge. It should be fun, Brad. I'm really looking forward to this game. It's a nice test. West Coast trip, you know, 4:05 kick a little later in our day. Primetime eyeballs will find this football game. A lot of people are interested. They like Staley. They like Stefanski. They like the aggressiveness of both coaches. And obviously, national eyes are always on Baker Mayfield with the current state of affairs in Cleveland. So it should be a blast. Brad, thanks for your time, man. Always.
Always a blast. Thanks, Jake.
All right, guys, signing out. Appreciate you for this listening, tuning into this show, whether you're on All Eyes on Cleveland feed or whether you're on the OBR Film Breakdown. We genuinely appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with us. So thank you so much for that. We look forward to the game. Brad will have reaction after. I'll have reaction after. You can find those on your usual podcast feed. Appreciate all of your support on both networks and especially the Blue Wire Network, right? We're on October 14th. They're doing Brownstown Live up in Cleveland. You should go up and view that. You can find the link in the Twitter. You can find the link to that to buy tickets in the description of this podcast episode, so you can find it there. So, again, appreciate all your support. Have a happy game day. Get some good food. Spend some time with your family on Sunday. And we sign off with our usual, Brad. Go Browns.